Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
After Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, some Greeks, non-Jewish believers who came to worship at the Passover feast, approached the Apostle Philip asking, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." This is our text. Some years back, I had the opportunity to visit St. John Lutheran Church in Seward, Nebraska, real close to the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. And in St. John Lutheran Church, I was struck in particular by the pulpit. And what I was especially struck by was the view that can be seen from the pulpit. And I don't mean the view of the congregation, but clearly and boldly etched right on the white stone surface of the pulpit, where only the preacher can see them, are the words of today's gospel reading. "Sir, we would see Jesus." It's as if the congregation is asking the preacher to show them Jesus in every sermon, through every service, and in every time of spiritual care. And what a great reminder for the pastor that his job is simply to let the people see Jesus every time he steps into the pulpit. I do wonder, however, if the Greeks who came to Philip have any idea what they are asking. I wonder if they have any idea what they will see when they say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Here's the setting for that question. The Passover feast is near. Visitors and pilgrims fill Jerusalem. Anticipation and excitement are hanging in the air. Our Lord has just entered the city on a donkey, while the crowds took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And all around Jerusalem, there are stories about Jesus being told. Wild, exciting, amazing stories. How he healed a man born blind from birth by mixing his saliva with dirt. Or the story of how just a day earlier, he had gone out to Bethany and he had called his friend Lazarus from the grave. Lazarus, whose body had been decomposing for 4 days. It's hard to believe, except that the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. All throughout that Palm Sunday crowd in Jerusalem and in the days that follow were the people who had seen it happen, and they were telling others. And so the reason why the crowd went to meet Jesus on Palm Sunday, and I'd venture to guess the reason why those Greeks went to meet him, was that they heard he had done this sign. So no wonder they want to see Jesus. Maybe they're hoping for a miracle. Maybe they're hoping for something glorious, another body coming out of a tomb, or another blind man seeing. Maybe they're expecting to hear one of his parables. Maybe they simply want his signature. Maybe they're after a selfie with Jesus. Okay, no selfies with Jesus at that point. But who knows what the reason is? A celebrity is in town. They'd like to lay eyes on him. Or maybe they think that Jesus really has come to drive out the Romans and reestablish the kingdom in Jerusalem. Whatever the case, he's a huge, polarizing figure. And I suspect there were all sorts of people wanting to see him for all sorts of different reasons. And I wonder, do we know what we're asking when we say, "Sir, we would see Jesus"? What is it that we are wanting to see? What is it that we're expecting from him? And what will it mean for us? I know it seems like a simple enough request. They ask Philip, and Philip goes and consults with Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip together go and tell Jesus. And we don't know what answer they expected to hear, but they probably weren't expecting what Jesus said next. "Hey, Jesus, some Greek fellas would like a moment of your time. Could you let them see you?" And his reply is to start talking about death. We would see Jesus, but it's like his head is somewhere else. He's thinking about other things. We ask to see Jesus, and instead, we hear about death. Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Somehow, seeing Jesus and death are intimately connected. To bear much fruit, this grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die. It must be buried. The Lord enters Jerusalem on a donkey, not on a war horse. His glory is hidden beneath his humility. He comes not to be served, but to serve. Our Lord, as he goes into Jerusalem, doesn't see his life as something to hold on to, but as something to give away. Though he was God, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You really want to see Jesus? Well, this is the week for it. Then see him break the bread and give it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." See him distribute the cup with the words, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood." See him kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, the agony that he feels, the prayers that he cries out, the sweat like drops of blood, the cup of wrath that he asks to have pass, but he must drink, the betrayal with a kiss. See him hauled before the Jewish Sanhedrin, then before Pilate, then before Herod, and then back to Pilate again. See him falsely accused, mocked, spit upon, slapped, and whipped. See his flesh ripped open and bleeding. See his head crowned with thorns. See him stricken, smitten, and afflicted. See the nails driven into his hands and his feet, and then see him lifted up from the earth that he may draw all people to himself. See him bear the sin of the world. See him forgive his persecutors, rescue the dying, entrust himself to his Father, suffer hell, finish his work, and breathe his last. From an earthly perspective, it's not much to look at. The cross is shameful. It is horrible. It is something that we wish to hide our faces from. For what are we looking at when we see Jesus there on the cross? We are looking at the wages of our sin. We see the wrath of God revealed against all rebellion and ungodliness. We see the separation from God that is hell, that thorn on his head. That is my lust. That spike in his hands is my anger and resentment. That lash on his back is my lying and deception. That bruise on his shoulder, there is my pride. Our sin brought him to the cross. But what are we looking at when we see Jesus on the cross? We are not seeing our sin, our death, and our judgment naked, but we are seeing them on our Savior, on Jesus Christ. This Holy Week, as we see Jesus, we see that he is way more than a miracle worker. We see that he is far more than just a good teacher. We see that he is more than a famous person of history. And we see that he is more than someone who suffers a tragedy. We see that he is Lord, that he is Savior, that he is God in human flesh, rescuing us from the misery of our sin and from death and hell. Holy Week is a time to see Jesus anew with fresh eyes. And we'll do that together this week when we gather again on Thursday evening, on Friday evening, and next Sunday. And we'll do it throughout the week as we read the accounts of our Lord's suffering and death in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what will it mean for us to see Jesus in this way? It means more than just looking at him. Jesus isn't just an object to be viewed with scorn or with sympathy. No, to see Jesus, to have our eyes on him, is to follow him. Where our eyes are, there our feet will follow. So that we become not just spectators of all of these events during Holy Week, but you might say participants in what Jesus does. Jesus says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Seeing Jesus means learning to die with him, learning to die in him. Seeing Jesus means that we are to hate our life in this world. We are to see our sinful natures crucified with him and buried with him. If we avoid and deny this death, if we keep our eyes on our own lives, if we try to keep our lives close, then we will refuse to see Jesus. We will be unable to see him. No, Jesus can only be seen when our eyes are lifted from ourselves, lifted up to where he is, hanging on his cross. Our eyes can only see Jesus when he removes the blindness, when he lets the scales fall from them, when the blindness of sin and death is taken away. And so look, dear friend, not at yourself, but look at him, and see your sins with him on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, your suffering and your pain are there too. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Look, your death, absorbed by his death, and your hell suffered by him. My God, why have you forsaken me? And when you see Jesus, you see that your life no longer belongs to you, but it belongs to him. We die with Christ that we may live in him. And in the death of Jesus, we see the death of our sinful natures, and we see that we are born anew of him. And we too are children of God. So as you go through this week, I urge you to see Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to see in him the death of your sin and the new life that he won for you by his own suffering and death. And as we have our eyes on Jesus, we realize, too, that this Jesus isn't just for us. The Jesus that we see in Holy Week isn't something we can keep to ourselves. Our Lord came not only for the Jews, but also for the Greeks. He came not only for you and me, but he came for our family members and our friends, for our neighbors and our co-workers. And he wants them to see him, too. And so it's fitting for us that having seen Jesus and seeing him again, that we would do as Philip did earlier in the gospel. After he'd been introduced to Jesus, he went and told Nathanael, come and see. So invite others to come and see Jesus with you this week. And may it ever be your prayer, and may it ever be what you find in this pulpit, from this altar, at this font, and in this church, that we would see Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.